It's a residency at the House of M's.
This is Triple M Nights with Dave Gleeson. Well, someone bring me some water, because this bio introduction I have for our next guest is like a scroll. It's so long, it's going to take me ages to read that. Look at it. And speaking of scrolls, where's my cinnamon scroll? I don't read stuff until I've had my cinnamon scroll. You know that. So if you want me to read out the stuff here about our next guest recording 11 albums and touring the world and performing at the Grammys and winning Oscars and overcoming serious illnesses and all that, then you don't want me to read it. So why am I here? I'm not here. I don't exist. What do you mean? I'm just an AI computerized voice generated from a teleprompter. Well, that's ridiculous. Oh, now you're actually bringing me some water so you can prove that I'm not real by pouring it on my motherboard.
Please welcome, in Australia and Toronto, it's Triple M Nights again. It's Melissa Etheridge.
My guest tonight is one of the biggest names we've ever had on the show. Burst onto the scene in 1988 with her brand of bluesy, raspy rock, and she's gone on to release 16, count them, 16 acclaimed albums. You can chuck in some Grammys, an Oscar, two best-selling memoirs, a Broadway show, a hit Broadway show, and you've got the one and only Melissa Etheridge. Welcome to the show, Melissa. Very pumped to have you here.
Thank you very much.
You're returning to Australia after a bunch of years.
So excited. I was headed there before the pandemic, and then once the pandemic happened, we had to start all the tour cycle all over again. And so finally, we're getting down there this year. I'm so excited. I just love visiting you. You're just such warm, fun, amazing people, and you love your rock and roll. I love that.
We do, and we're so stoked that you're coming here. You've had such an enduring career. Did you, as a young girl, ever dare to dream that you would, when you first started writing songs and making music, dare to dream that it would take you on such a journey?
I had no idea that countries like Australia would be listening. I don't know why I didn't, but, it was such a surprise back in 1988. You guys were one of the first countries, and it started in Adelaide, and it just bloomed all through your beautiful country, and you loved my music, and you weren't afraid of a strong woman. You hopped right on. And oh my gosh, you have never let up. It is constant. It's a place I can always go to, and I'm so grateful for that.
Speaking of never letting up, I mean, obviously you started off in the early 80s honing your craft and stuff, but you've released so many albums and Broadway shows and memoirs. You must have this drive inside you that keeps you just burning with the passion.
It is a drive, but it's also a delight. I love making music. Uh-huh. I'm so blessed to do what I love and to make a good living at it. It's wonderful. So I'm so very grateful. I'm so appreciative of it. And it's constantly growing. I get to constantly create new stuff while also having a whole bag of hits that I love to share with y'all.
Yeah. I mean, and you've been very open with the struggles that you've had in your life. And I feel like that brings your audience and your fans a real closeness with the people who listen to your music.
Yeah, life can't help, but we can't help but have life happen to us. And life has ups and downs. Everybody's does. Nobody's having a perfect life. Mm-hmm. And that's not the whole point. The point is to learn and grow and ask for more and move up. And I have found that the struggles that I have gone through and gotten past are common with people. One is health. Two, losing my son is unfortunately very common. I lost him to an opioid abuse, and it's way too common and still a huge problem in our whole world. And a lot of families have a hard time how to deal with it, and it's really, really hard on the family. So I try to, be open and inspirational for that. I just telling people you will get through it. You will understand it more than you do now. And the best thing the thing you have to do is to take care of yourself, because you can't get sick enough to help a sick person.
Yeah,
at all.
Yeah. It's an extraordinary thing. It's like I see it a lot with artists such as yourself who are so open and giving. Ordinary people living extraordinary lives.
Yeah, I'm definitely ordinary. Yes.
Now, a set list when you're coming up with this tour to Australia. Obviously, you were talking about your hits, but you bought out so many albums. How do you go about, you know, whittling it down to a 2 hour or 3 hour show?
It usually depends on how long of the show I have. Yep. You know, if it's just the evening with, I've got a couple hours and I will do all the hits, and usually kind of go into my first 4 or 5 albums a little deeper, you know, playing maybe a track that, you know, they haven't heard me play live. Then I'll throw in one or two of the newer stuff just to say, hey, this was from my album just a few years ago. Maybe you might like this song. And then, well, usually that's about the it. That's about it. Once I can put all the hits and everything together, you know, but you'll hear, I've been playing the guitar more. And so I do a little bit more of that. And but it's really all about entertaining and everyone feeling like they got what they hoped they would get and that they leave feeling better than they came.
So when you come to Australia, what are some of the things you're enjoying when you're in our beautiful country?
Well, one, your beautiful country, just your beautiful, beautiful countryside, your food. You have an incredibly delicious, fresh food and a wonderful take on it, and some of the local and infused things that you all do, and just the people. Y'all are a lot of fun, you know. You really are.
Thank you. We do love our international artists coming out here. We've been very lucky over the last 6 or so months that, as you were saying about the coronavirus earlier on, everything's wide open and back on the road. I'm in a band myself, and it's just so great to be out there and playing to the fans.
Didn't know how much we would miss it, man.
No.
Live music is important.
You don't know what when they took it away, I was absolutely devastated. It was finding what to do with your time was the hardest thing.
Yeah. I tried to stay out of trouble. Yeah.
Now, when you started, who were you looking up to? I mean, there weren't that many women in rock, were they, that had had the success that you went on to have. So who were you looking towards?
Well, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and there's just great music at the time, of course, just the rock and roll and R&B and country. And I grew up in Kansas in the Midwest, and we had like one radio station, and it played everything. And so I grew up without like genres. I grew up thinking that, you know, I mean, they would play Tammy Wynette, and then they would play Led Zeppelin, and then they would play Marvin Gaye. And it was just, you know, it was just everything right there. And so I grew up with all this different influence, but loving the singer-songwriters, you know, Paul Simon, Bruce Springsteen, just these, Joni Mitchell, just loving these great singer-songwriters.
And obviously, when you were writing your first songs, you were the dreams of a small-town girl from Kansas, and seeing that, you know, what, as you mentioned, Tammy Wynette, she came from all the country stars. They came from such poor and beginnings, and to see them go on and be so huge must have been an inspiration.
Oh yeah, I mean, I really believed I kind of crazily believed that I could make it. I mean, a girl from Kansas, you know, not heard of before, but I stayed in the moment. I just kept singing, kept playing, and people kept liking it. So I kept moving on with it.
That's fantastic. And being from Kansas, you'd be a very happy Kansas City Chief fan right now.
Yep, right there. There's my Kansas City Chiefs. Huge fan, because for 50 years, it was rough being a Kansas City Chiefs fan.
Right, yeah.
And the last few years, the last 5-6 years have been amazing, and I'm loving it very much.
Fantastic. I saw a bunch of, I think they've got some new fans, but Taylor Swift's just been over here.
And,
I saw all these young girls walking around in Kansas City Chiefs hats, and I'm like,
we'll take it. She's our queen, you know. Everyone is welcome in the Chiefs kingdom.
Excellent. Well, you're going to play the Blues Festival at Broadwater, Blues on Broadwater. That is a fantastic festival. What do you like with the festivals? Is it kind of an easier gig because it doesn't all rest on you than as opposed to your own shows?
Well, sort of. I like both. Yeah. I do like, you know, having the whole thing, because I like having 2 hours, and the festivals are usually 90 minutes or something. And that's okay, though. I can still get all the hits in. And I love the festivals because they're usually out in the middle of nowhere. They're outside. The people are there to listen to music and have fun. And that's just, you know, that's the perfect ingredients to have fun. And just really looking forward to this one because I haven't been to the Broad Beach one. And I hear it's amazing. And I'm just really delighted.
It is indeed. Well, people out there listening, get your tickets. Melissa Etheridge is coming. You can go and check out Triple M's website. You can go and check out Melissa's website as well for all the information. Melissa, thank you so much for your time. You're a beautiful person, and we thank you very much for coming down and putting us on your touring schedule.
I appreciate it. I'm really looking forward. I'm bringing the wife and one of my daughters. So
fantastic.
We're going to have a good time.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
For all the latest rock news, interviews, and backstage experiences, don't forget to subscribe to Triple M Rock on the Listener app.